In the name of our compassionate Savior, Jesus, amen. Our eyes see that everyone dies, young and old, athletes and movie stars, senators and presidents. Human reason simply can't see beyond the grave because reason says death is final and the second date on the tombstone marks the end of life. There have always been people who flatly deny the resurrection. Even Thomas believed Jesus was dead and buried and said, "Unless I actually see him and explore his wounds, I won't believe." Jesus helped Thomas overcome his doubts. And of course, we all know that Thomas believed and confessed, "My Lord and my God." What a shame the Sadducees would not believe in the resurrection. This Jewish religious party was composed largely of priests and well-to-do aristocrats who knew about death. They saw their loved ones die. But the Sadducees refused to believe what they could not see with their eyes or verify with their senses or understand with their minds. With all the people around to ridicule the idea of the resurrection, the Sadducees came up with a story of seven brothers who had taken the same wife in accordance with Levirate law. They thought they had a real winner, a problem Jesus could not solve. They hoped to expose Jesus' resurrection teaching as just so much foolishness, thereby dampening the wave of Jesus's enthusiasm sweeping over Jerusalem. The Sadducees had a critical and condemning attitude. It was an "I am better than you" attitude. That was the condition of the Sadducees, but it can also be our condition at times. Satan's most successful temptation for solid, conservative, Bible-believing Christians like all of us is to have us believe at times that we are better than others, that we deserve a holier-than-thou attitude. In non-spiritual matters, we are tempted to believe that we have the right to be critical of others and condemning of others. Satan convinces us to nitpick the specks in other people's eyes while ignoring the planks in our own eyes. The Sadducees agreed together on their critical opinion. But truth is never dependent on the consensus of opinion. Truth is always dependent only on what the Scriptures say, because that is God's word. Jesus responded to the Sadducees with, "You are wrong precisely because you don't really know the Scriptures or the power of God." Jesus answered the Sadducees' contrived story with a real knowledge of Scripture. The Bible clearly and unmistakably teaches the resurrection of the dead. In unmistakable language, the prophets of the Old Testament affirm the resurrection of the body. To make his point, Jesus might have quoted from the book of Job. Job looked forward to the day when he would see the Savior with his own eyes after his resurrection. Job clearly states, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and after my skin has been destroyed, in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes." Or Jesus might have quoted Isaiah, who taught about the resurrection with these words, "But your dead will live, their bodies will rise." Or Jesus could have quoted Daniel, who prophesied of the resurrection when Daniel said, "Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt." Instead, our Lord Jesus pointed to the account of Moses speaking with God at the burning bush. Why did Jesus quote from this section of the Bible? Because the Sadducees claimed to base their beliefs exclusively on the first five books of the Bible written by Moses. So Jesus informs the Sadducees that the Pentateuch is the very book that sets forth the necessary proof for the resurrection. Jesus points out to them that God himself declares in Scripture that he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God does not state that he was their God, and if God is their God in the time of Moses, centuries after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had died, it is a necessary consequence that they still exist. They are still living. Jesus is saying to the Sadducees, yes, their souls are still alive with God in heaven. Their bodies, long ago reduced to dust, to await the great day of resurrection, when they will be raised as glorified bodies to rejoin their souls and live before God forever in heaven. By citing this verse from the Old Testament, Jesus shows us where we receive the faith to believe the seemingly impossible from the Scriptures. In the Bible, God promises us that he will raise the dead. And we believe it because God has said so. We could not be God's people if we were dead, any more than Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob could have been his children if they were dead. Moses knew this when he made this statement about God. When speaking about resurrection faith, we must also focus on baptism. It was in baptism that we were made children of God and received forgiveness for all of our sins, including our sins of criticism of others and slander of others. Baptism was our doorway to new life in fellowship with God as our Heavenly Father. The Apostle Paul says, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. Yes, at baptism, we became children of the resurrection. As God's children of the resurrection, we joyfully proclaim to others that God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And we proclaim Jesus' sure promises, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And when speaking about resurrection faith, we must also talk about heaven. Even after our corrupt human bodies fulfill the curse of God and die their physical deaths, Jesus promises us that through faith in him, we will continue to live eternally in heaven. Jesus tells each and every one of us, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you. And I will come back. And I will take you to be with me. That where I am, there you may be also. Yes, the beauty of heaven awaits us. In Revelation, John says, and God showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, shone with the glory of God, brilliant, like a jasper. 12 gates were 12 pearls. The great street of the city was of pure gold, transparent like glass. And the Lamb of God is its lamp. All this waits for us in heaven. Heaven is our inheritance through faith in Jesus, our Redeemer and Savior. Thanks be to God that like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We are children of the resurrection to eternal life in heaven. Amen.